Hello, everyone, and welcome to the weekly newscast here at ProWrestlingPonderings.com. My name is Jerome Cusan, and I am here only with Brian tonight, as we will be discussing a number of different results from this past weekend, including AIW, Tier 1, Chikara, plus my weekend at the Scenic City Invitational, the 2016 version, as well as Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. I will be discussing all of that here tonight. Joining me on the line is Brian. Brian, how's it going? I know that you have had another busy weekend, and with more to come, as we were just discussing off-air, what's coming up, not this weekend, but the following weekend, and just how much wrestling is coming up.
Yeah, man, it's a lot, and I was trying to catch up on G1, but it's just so much, you know, it's really overwhelming. I was barely trying to finish up Shibata and Michael Elgin last night, which was from like 2 weeks ago. I'm slowly getting there, but the goal is to watch enough to get to the finals and hopefully tweet it live, even though I think I'm going to like a Pokemon party in Hollywood. But depending if I still have, I don't know, that sounds like a weird thing to go to, but 21 and over, you never know, it's Hollywood. And from what I heard, basically it's like 60% girls play Pokemon Go compared to dudes, so maybe that'll help. But
So what you're telling me, Brian, is that this will increase your chances with the ladies.
Yeah, I mean, I'm level 20 going to level 21, so that should help too. Gotta, you know, build up my cred with the Pokemon ladies or whatever. Oh, Pokemon Go, it's taking over the world. That's probably why I didn't finish the cards sooner. But, you know, G1's coming up. I'm hoping that I can catch up by, you know, Saturday night. I think I'll have some time during the day. I'm probably not going to watch it all. Basically, what I'm doing is watching the matches that I really want to see, which seems to be mainly Block B matches. I don't know about you, Jerome, but I feel like Block B has kind of been slightly better, even though like the match of the year is probably going to be Ishii and Okada. And I haven't watched it yet, but from what I've heard, it's unbelievable.
Yes, that is the buzz going around. And if you would like to read all about the G1, please follow along with Eddie Cornelison, as he has been doing a fantastic job. He just joined the staff a couple of weeks ago, and he has just been pumping out all of these great reviews that you can find at pwponderings.com, taking care of all of the G1 reviews, and again, doing a great job. So please, please go read and what he has to say. Obviously, there's a number of other people who are reviewing the G1, but here at Pro Wrestling Ponderings, we have Eddie Cornelison, who is doing, you know, when you're at G1 time, you're doing like 4 and 5 reviews a week, and that is really intense. And, you know, the shows are at off hours. You're talking about, you know, 2.5 hours a night, especially if you're not reviewing the tag matches, which he is not. So yeah, just a lot of really intense stuff going on with the G1. But Brian, also this past weekend, let's get to some of the results. AIW, they presented their 18th Girls' Night Out. Some people were making jokes. I will not do that. Full results can be found at pwponderings.com/results. The most important note from this show is that Heidi Loveless retained her AIW women's title over Crazy Mary Dobson. Lufisto and Nicole Savoy had what was said to be a very, very good match that was won by Lufisto. There was also a controversial angle involving Shayna Baszler defeating Annie Social, and there has been a lot of scuttlebutt on Twitter and social media surrounding this match. We're not quite sure of the details. Perhaps we will have Cartoon Dave on in the next couple weeks to discuss some of the issues surrounding this match. I don't want to misspeak about it, so definitely go to twitter.com/pwponderings.com/results for everything that went on with Girls Night Out 18, and go to AIW Wrestling's Twitter for any updates on what's going on with the Baszler Social situation. Tier 1 also ran this past weekend, and Reese was there live in attendance and did a fantastic job of doing a recap. Again, you can find that at pwponderings.com/results. And there were a number of shenanigans that took place that you can read about. And Darius Carter earned himself another non-title victory over Rude Boy Riley, continued his year-long undefeated streak. And again, for all the details, please go to the website, as Tier 1 has been doing some very good stuff in the New York City area. Finally, Brian, the Chikara Power, the Hour of Power, which was done exclusively on Chikaratopia, as they are trying to get into the live streaming game with events. You can read all about that as Kevin Ford did a brief little recap of the results that you can find on the website. The most important thing that took place on the show was the continued dissension of the colony Worker Ant and Silver Ant, as they lost to Sonny DeFarge and Cornelius Crummles, who are brand new characters to the company. We also had Princess Kimberly winning, and Officer Warren Barksdale pinning Cobalt. That is also worth noting. So obviously, some smaller events taking place this past weekend. And this upcoming weekend, Brian, we have CZW. They are running a television taping this Saturday, August the 13th. And it is very interesting. They're going to be opening doors at 1:30 p.m. They're going to be taping starting at 2 p.m. But in addition to this pilot that they are doing of this TV taping, they are also running a pay-per-view as well that is entitled The Boss is Back. And this is taking place also this Saturday at 7:30 p.m. The doors are open at the Voorhees Rec Center. The Flyer Skate Zone, I'm sorry. And on the show, Joe Gacy will be wrestling Matt Tremont. Scarlett and Graves, Brian, they're taking on the Hit Squad.
Oh, my God. And isn't the Hit Squad the tag champ still, or are they losing it already? I know the tag
champ. The Hit Squad are the CZW tag team champions still. Of the world.
Of the world. Hopefully, is this a pilot for, like, we don't even know.
So this is the pay-per-view. This is the pilot is being done earlier in the day, and there are different matches for this. This is for the Boss is Back pay-per-view.
And this is pay-per-view, right? We're not talking regular, because we all heard that rumor back in the day that
right. This is this is going to be on streamczw.com, like always.
So it should be an interesting day for them. I hope, you know, because. I mean, I don't really watch CZW now, but if they got on TV, man, maybe they can appeal to certain audiences, you know, that I know there's probably still that deathmatch kind of audience that, you know, that they tap into and make a lot of money.
Especially with them bringing back John Zandig. They're obviously going for that.
Yeah, so whatever channel this is going to be on, maybe a channel that'll appeal to that demographic, maybe they can, you know, make a few bucks on the side with this TV deal. It'd be kind of cool, you know? I know we don't really talk highly about CZW on the show, but, you know, good for them that they're still around. I mean, they've been around longer than Ring of Honor. Let's give them credit for that. They're not on a national level like Ring of Honor is, but maybe, you know, like a 11:30 time slot on a certain channel.
CZW does have a lot of international popularity. I think a lot of people don't necessarily understand, especially in places like Germany and even Japan. They do have quite the following, so people have to take that into consideration.
For sure. So hopefully this will be something cool. And, you know, it's always nice to have extra wrestling on TV. I know you've been saying that there's just so much wrestling lately that I can't even watch it all, which is kind of a good thing in a way because, you know, back when we were younger, man, you know, there wasn't as many promotions. Maybe for some areas we got, like, certain channels and certain territories. But I know growing up I just had WCW and WWF, and I was always seeking out new stuff. So hopefully CZW gets on TV and just adds to the pile. And I know every Wednesday gets kind of piled up when you got, like, NXT, Lucha Underground, all that kind of thing. So maybe, hopefully this will be just another, show to the pile, and then it gets some love as well. So hopefully this will be a good pilot, and hopefully they'll get them off the ground. And, you know, they'll be on some kind of random channel maybe and make that extra dollar. So in terms of the pay-per-view, they're always making money. I mean, they're not making tons of money on their iPay-per-views, but they're making enough to appeal to that audience. I'm sure the international audience helps with that as well. You know, they're going to make their money, and, you know, we'll see if Zandig makes it all the way to Cage of Death.
Yeah, that's the big question, isn't it?
He makes it. How old is he?
I honestly don't know.
Yeah, he
that
looks
is a
like,
very good question.
He looks like you know, one of your uncles that's like one of your tough, old, you know, overweight uncles that like to drink a lot. But he seems a little.
According to Wikipedia, he is 45 years old. That seems about right.
Okay, so let's maybe stop jumping off buildings and driving people through glass beds on the back of pickup trucks if you're 45 years old trying to make it to a cage of death, which, I mean, is he doing a death match on the pay-per-view?
He is not advertised. It's just saying that the boss is back, and the boss... So basically what happened on a previous show is that Zandig came out with Josh Crane, Robbie Moreno, and Ruckus, and they literally buried DJ Hyde alive during at the annual Tournament of Death until DJ Hyde gave up ownership of the company. So, I mean, that's one way to do an angle like that.
For sure. And for CZW, kind of fits. So, yeah, let's hope that
In the mana narrative of literally burying DJ Hyde, I mean, that also fits.
Yeah. Let's just hope it's not like last year when they had hopes for Nick Gage to do the Cage of Death.
Nick Gage also getting out of prison very soon, so...
Well, see, I mean, you can start taking bets now, I guess, right? I mean, how many months was the last time? 2 months?
I am not going to take a bet like that on someone who is trying to return to society like that, but...
Yeah.
If you want to, Brian, you go right ahead.
Sure, so... Good for
so
them.
Yes, that is CZW. And it was announced by Ring of Honor today that Will Ospreay will be debuting with the company. It's kind of a running gag that Will Ospreay has not been with Ring of Honor, even though he has a very close affiliation with New Japan, and obviously New Japan and Ring of Honor have a relationship. But Will Ospreay will be wrestling for Ring of Honor in the United Kingdom. Now, this does not address in any way Will Ospreay's possible contractual situation in the United States with Evolve. So let's make that clear. There is nothing either that says he will be wrestling for Evolve or he won't be. So that situation is still pending. But Brian, I don't know if a lot of people realize this, but in that month when Ring of Honor is running the United Kingdom, this is coming just a very short time after Rev Pro and New Japan Pro Wrestling are running joint shows. The WWE is in the United Kingdom that month, and PCW, which is the company that Ring of Honor ran shows with the last 2 years over Thanksgiving weekend, PCW is running at basically the same time as Ring of Honor across that weekend. So if Ring of Honor has any hopes of drawing people, they basically have to bring in Will Ospreay, and I don't know who else they could possibly bring. We'll have to see how this all develops, but that's what Ring of Honor situation. Are you excited to see Will Ospreay versus BJ Whitmer, Brian?
Come on, is that official? Or are you just
joking? No, I'm joking.
Okay, because that would be not surprising, but you know, knowing Delirious, man, he probably listened to this and probably okay, that's what they want. But no, seriously, I mean, like, yeah, because as soon as I saw that announcement, I was like, okay, what is Gabe thinking right now? You know, like, the contract thing, the Paul Heyman angle that they shot. Very interesting stuff. I get the feeling that this is going to be more like a one-off since they're going to be in his territory anyway, and they figured, you know what? He's a local draw. We need to draw. We're out of our comfort zone here back in the UK. We haven't been here in years. I mean, when they went back in, what, 2006, 2007, and 2000... Is that it? Like, those were the two times? I know there's another time, right?
I can't remember when.
And they drew around, like, 1,200, as I recall. Something like that. And I don't know if they can draw that again, but...
I mean, that's going to be a big question, whether Ring of Honor is going to draw in the UK, especially, like I said, they are running against Preston City Wrestling. This is the same month with Rev Pro, also running with New Japan Talent. And like I said, WWE, and you cannot... That is a lot of wrestling in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, and I think it's not going to be live on iPay-per-view, I don't think, because they're no way going to test the Wi-Fi in another country. So something like this would have been interesting to put like on pay-per-view, you know, but obviously the time difference and all that. And I think there would have been a little bit of a different buzz because it's the UK, because, I mean, back in the glory days, like, those UK shows were pretty epic, especially with that crowd, you know. And I don't know if the crowd is going to be hot and as rabid as that crowd was, you know, but we do know that a Progress Wrestling crowd can really get into a show and elevate it. Same with a Rev Pro crowd. So hopefully that the crowds there are still going to be hot after all that wrestling action that is probably, I don't know if it's the same audience for each show, but it probably is, because I got to think, like, you know, like a friend of the website, Alan Farrell, you know, he's probably going to be at all those shows and being, you know, seeing the same people. Because I know, like, here in, you know, the States, like, obviously the East Coast has their own crowd, the West Coast has their own crowd. So they're going to draw those certain numbers anyway, but Ring of Honor going over there.
Ring of Honor also has television in many of the markets that they run in, and I do not believe, unless if somebody please correct me if I'm incorrect on this, but I don't believe Ring of Honor has television in the UK, so yeah, that's a huge problem.
Yeah, so I'm thinking this thing with Will Ospreay is kind of a way to, like, get people in, you know, put butts in the seats. If he's just going to have one-off matches, that's fine, I guess. Put him up against, ACH, maybe. Who else? I don't know, maybe Matt Seidel again, but that's kind of been done everywhere else. I don't know if Ring of Honor wants to just, like, kind of, you know, do that same match again. But, you know, it's, what, four shows, I believe? Right?
Yeah, three or four shows. I mean, yeah, they're definitely I mean, when you're flying the number of people that you're flying, you basically have to run three or four shows, so...
Yeah, so... it'll be interesting to see what his matches are. If they just stick him in, like, one of those, you know, random six-man tags with the Bucks, then, you know, like, they're not going to really push this guy.
I mean, if they have a relationship with New Japan, I mean, New Japan's not going to be happy with that, so...
That is also true. See, there's so many politics going on, man. Feels like
I think it's incredibly problematic for Ring of Honor. And like I said, I don't know. I just don't know what the relationship is going to be between New Japan and Ring of Honor moving forward. I don't see it as a long-term
well,
thing.
That's kind of play into their Q&A later on in the show, but hint, hint. Because I actually think that it's going to grow based on one man and his quest to be Ring of Honor champion. We'll get to that with the Q&A because it ties into that.
Yes, let's, before we get into the discussion of the SCI and AWE, since it's going to be a lot of me talking, Brian, I'm going to pose these questions to you. We would like to thank Matt Fish for sending in a couple of questions for us here on the Twitter mailbag. What Japanese star should be the next ROH World Champion? Unless they are specifically associated and contractually obligated to Ring of Honor, I in no way think a New Japan star should hold the title. I think it would be an enormous mistake. I am a firm believer that Takeshi Morishima's title reign did a lot of damage to the Ring of Honor brand. I think it contributed partially to some of the DVD sales going down. And I know that Tanahashi is obviously much more popular. Okada is much more popular. But I do not believe that a Japanese star should hold the Ring of Honor title unless it is somebody who is, like I said, committed to the company. It's not because, oh, only an American should hold the Ring of Honor title. No, that's not it. If it was somebody who was committed to the company long-term, fine. But Tanahashi holding the Ring of Honor title, I just do not believe holds any value. Tanahashi is a guy who is not going to give the premium amount of effort that is required of a Ring of Honor champion, because I don't believe that he can do that. I don't think Tanahashi can go 12 months out of the year and give everything he has in every match. And that is not to be meant to be a criticism towards him, but Tanahashi is focused on the G1, he is focused on January 4th, and that's fine. That if that's what you need to save him for, by all means do it, but he should not be the Ring of Honor World Champion. So, that's my viewpoint on it. So, my answer is none.
You know, I would have said probably none too, but based on what Tanahashi has been saying in interviews, it feels like he's subtly hinting that he will win the title. I don't know when. I would actually think maybe on the 4th, because if you do him and Lethal for the ROH title on the 4th, and then he beats Lethal, and then you build up Lethal to win the title back, to bring it back to Ring of Honor, kind of a deal. Because I know Tanahashi's even said, like, he's willing to fly out once or twice a month to do these defenses that is required of him as the champion. And once I read that, I was like, well, if he's, like, verbally and mentally already committed, then this might be already in the works. And you look at all the potential challengers to take down Jay Lethal and whatnot. It looks like Adam Cole might do it based on, I mean, the way it's booked on Ring of Honor TV. But then it would have been like, wow, you turned Jay Lethal, you shaved his head, and then you took the belt away from him. So I don't know if they're going to go that direction. I feel like they got to build up Jay Lethal more. And him having a feud with Tanahashi can really elevate Lethal. And you didn't mention the quality of matches, and he is very, very hurt right now. He should not even be wrestling this many matches in the G1.
Yeah, I know there are a lot of people that are like, oh, he's fine. I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah, he has lost a lot of muscle mass. It looks like he dropped like 20, 30 pounds of muscle just because it seems like he can't, you know, work out as much as he can because of the shoulder. So instead of doing heavy lifting, he's probably doing extra cardio to make up for that. And you can tell. And even though I think his body actually, you know, looks and, you know, probably works better at the size he's at right now, he's known for being like a John Cena-sized type guy for his small build.
Right.
Like,
I mean, he's definitely a lot bigger than I think people...
Yeah, he is jacked, especially in the upper body. And then when I saw him in the G1, I was like, wow. You know, it really kind of concerned me. But the fact that, and then you watch his match with, who was it, Sonata, and the way he just, I don't know, man, even though he's hurt, he can still pull out these emotionally charged matches towards the end, you know? And he lost that match. And the way they were playing it up, it seemed like Tanahashi was just getting old and old, but the way he's been talking about the Ring of Honor title, it really seems like that's one of his next goals, you know, and I'm really surprised that he would, you know, aim for such a goal, but I guess he wants to be kind of like that Muda where he comes in into the States and also has that effect on the whole wrestling scene, and as Ring of Honor champion, he can possibly do that, but then again, it's, you know, he's got to come in, what, once a month? Will he come in for TVs? You know, will he be able to come in for TVs as the champion? I don't know, but the way, you know, we've been subtly hinting at it, especially Tanahashi. It would not surprise me if you have this announcement of like Jay Lethal versus Hiroshi Tanahashi at the Dome for the Ring of Honor title, and then you build up this like 1 year rivalry to finally like, so he can finally get the title, give the title back to Lethal, and then Lethal get that rub as, you know, the guy who took the title back from the legend Tanahashi.
I mean, Jay Lethal, if his contract is up in January, I think there's a distinct possibility he goes to WWE. So this could all be for naught. And I think Adam Cole's winning the title at Death Before Dishonor. I think there's a reason that he was pulled out of Bola, and I think that was the reason, because yeah, he's going in as Ring of Honor champion.
Seems like that now, but you know, things could change. You know, I mean, who saw Roderick Strong winning or losing the title to Ishii? So
Adam Cole may or may not have was supposed to win the title at another point this year, and it didn't happen. So we'll have to see how it all works out. there's a little hint for you. So let's get to the next question. Who would have the best match on the independent scene with Ryback, Brian?
Oh, that's easy, and it should be the same answer as you, I hope, and that's Chris Hero.
I think that's the easy, boring answer. So let's. We don't even need to say why. Do we really need to say why? Because it's Chris Hero, I think, right?
Yeah,
but
I mean, he
who else would you be interested in? I think Michael Elgin is another guy that people...
Ooh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
I mean, I think from a spectacle standpoint, though...
It'd be a spectacle of, like, Ryback just, like, messing things up and then probably, like, landing wrong because he doesn't know how to get thrown around because he was never really thrown around in WWE. He was usually the guy throwing people around. So him getting thrown around by Michael Elgin, I think, would be awesome to see. But also a borderline train wreck on how Ryback can just probably mess things up. I mean, look what he did with Punk, for Christ's sake. So, Hero would be my number one. Michael Elgin would not be my number two choice. My number two choice would maybe probably be... I would say maybe like Jeff Cobb, but I get the same feeling with Michael Elgin. Like, that would just be cool.
I don't know what kind of matches Ryback would even have on the indies. Is Ryback going to be the type of guy who is going to do a PWG, a Ring of Honor, Indie Falls Wrestling? Or is he going to go the WrestlePro? You know, everybody, when they get released by WWE, it seems, they have a WrestlePro date announced. So I don't think you can necessarily just say, well, he's going that route. Let's see the kind of dates that he takes after that, because, you know, that's the kind of direction he can go in. There are a number of different directions he can go in, and who knows? Ryback may very well sign with the TNA. I don't know if Ring of Honor would be interested in him, but, you know, we'll have to see, obviously, given that he is no longer affiliated with WWE. But I know this much, when Cody Rhodes was released, you know, he put out that list, and he was very aggressive with his dates, and, You know, you could basically look at Cody Rhodes' calendar after beginning next week, and you can basically identify who he's wrestling and for what company every week for the rest of the year. I mean, this is a guy who's going to be doing Evolve, PWG, Ring of Honor, Northeast Wrestling. This is a guy who's really going to be out there these next few months. So that is definitely something to look forward to moving forward. But Brian, I want to talk about a summer tournament that took place this past weekend in Chattanooga, Tennessee. This was the Scenic City Invitational. This was presented by Empire Wrestling. And basically, this was a mixture of some of the best local talent on the Southern independent wrestling scene, sprinkled in with some names such as Chris Hero, Matt Riddle, and Leo Rush, most prominently. Last year, that was the first year of the version of this tournament. Took place in Rossville, Georgia, was won by Jimmy Rave, and for the first year of a tournament, it turned out very well. This year, obviously, a ton more hype attached to it, and just looking at the attendances, Brian, I think you'll see just how much the tournament grew. So last year, on the first night, they drew 140 people. This year, they drew about 350 people for just night one. And night two, last year, they drew about 250 people. This year, they drew almost 600. So Brian, that tells you right there just how much this tournament has grown in 1 year.
Yeah, and that's probably because of Chris Hero and all those folks. But, let's just say this right off the bat. You survived the South.
I did survive the American South. I don't know how much Chris Hero had to do with it necessarily. I mean, there's certainly a contingent of people, I think, who came because of Chris Hero, Matt Riddle, and Leo Rush. And there were a number of people who are on hashtag wrestling Twitter, including the Hales Clan, At the Fray Movement, and a number of people from Wrestling with Words, which is another website that covers pro wrestling. There were about 25 to 30 people from various wrestling podcasts and websites, Brian. Just think about that.
Sounds like a WrestleCon kind of, meeting up. But
So the funny thing is that all of us were seated in on the floor seats, and all of the, I would say, local fans were kind of in the bleachers, so it made for a very different atmosphere, that's for sure.
So it was like press row, basically.
Basically, yes.
Well, at least you got sort of the semi-VIP treatment, but, you know, it's great to hear, man. We talked about this tournament for at least a couple weeks now. It didn't surprise me that they drew like so much better than they did last year. There's a lot of buzz around especially like Atlanta right now. There's like probably this year, probably an increase in the attention to Atlanta and the wrestling scene. And this was,
I think North Carolina also with CWF Mid-Atlantic. Yeah. That's a big one as well.
Yeah. So it's nice to see some growth and, probably this crop of guys down there is probably going to be we're going to be hearing more of them in the next coming months. Probably word of mouth from like the guys who worked with them will spread, and then they'll probably get bookings in other areas too. So hopefully this will be the kind of if you look back at like a King of the Indies tournament back in like 2001, where that kind of set the stage for the modern era of indie wrestling. So a tournament like this can always, give young guys a nice spotlight and then kind of, put them out there amongst the indie scene and get that word of mouth. So hopefully this will be more, this will be a great like stepping stone, so to speak, for them. And the format of the tournament overall I find interesting because they went with a four-way final,
which I think the format of the tournament is so much better.
That's what
I really like it.
Should Bola adapt that too and just do a six-way final and eliminate the semifinal round? Should other tournaments be like this? I know AIW experimented with this year to a lot of success. It seems like
I think to me the biggest problem with if you're going to do a format like this, for me, the big problem is when guys are wrestling three matches in a night, because I think every round ultimately suffers because of that. And I think when you're doing two matches in one night, I think that's so much easier on their bodies, particularly when you're doing a four-way final. Guys don't have to be in the ring for nearly as much time. I think it makes a huge difference. I love the format of this tournament, and if they're going to do two nights, which they do, I think this is perfect. I think doing the first round on the first night and then doing the semifinals and the finals with a four-way finals, I think that is absolutely perfect. And the storytelling, particularly in when you look at 2015 and then you immediately watch 2016, so much of the storytelling is going to make a lot of sense. And I think it worked out perfectly. I think King of Trios, because King of Trios is a 16 tournament, it's 16 teams, but it's three nights. I think it works perfectly for them as well. I think Bola's problem is when you have those guys wrestling three matches and night three turns out to be a five-hour show. I think that is a huge, huge issue, just on the wear and tear of the wrestlers. And I kind of think 24 is too many as well. But that's a whole nother can of worms. But let's talk about this tournament. Brian, what questions do you have for me?
Man, did Chris Hero have as many awesome matches as I thought he'd have? it seems like he was built for this, like, to put over the younger guys, which he did towards the end. Which kind of made sense, obviously. I mean, we kind of, like, thought that was going to happen weeks ago, right?
I think if you were to ask the people at the tournament, I think they would probably call Chris Hero not just the MVP of the tournament, but they would say that he was the MVP of the locker room as well. And it's worth pointing out that Chris Hero wrestled three matches over the weekend, and he also did a training seminar, and he participated in a Q&A with some of the fans at the hotel for about 2 hours. So Chris Hero was a very busy man. And he also sold a ton of merchandise, including for myself. I bought a Chris Hero t-shirt. So he was a very, very busy man. And what can you say about Chris Hero that hasn't already been said? I mean, this is a guy. So the first and the second round had 20-minute time limits. He wrestled for 19 minutes and 58 seconds on the first night. Then he went about 15 minutes with Chip Day. And then he was in the whole finals for that went about 30 to 35 minutes. So that should tell you all you need to know. And Chris Hero wrestled on Sunday for Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment in a 20-minute match as well. So what does that answer your question about?
Yes, and my point is, give Chris Hero some love, people. I know the weight issue is an issue for some people, and we know it's for safety's sake and his knees and his health and whatnot, but he seems to be having this, like,
I did not see any cardio problems on my end.
Yeah, he's not having, like, heavy, you know, breathing issues at this point with the size and everything. He's kind of pulling the Dusty Rhodes, man, where he's just letting it all hang out, but actually, like, throwing up Match of the Year candidates, man, like, left and right. This is crazy.
I would say the finals is a for sure Match of the Year candidate, and I think people should go out of their way to see this entire weekend, but in particular, what Chris Hero was able to do with the tournament winner. The tournament winner was Gunnar Miller. And if you watch the 2015 tournament, it's sort of what happened with Jimmy Rave kind of stealing one from Gunnar Miller and the way that he has been booked over the past year. Basically, there are two different promotions in that area where he went completely undefeated to set him up for this tournament. And Gunnar Miller ultimately came away. And it is worth pointing out that Gunnar Miller had easily the worst first-round match of anyone. I would say this was one of the worst matches of the entire year, in fact, or at least from what I've seen. It was not good, and knowing what I knowing in the back of my head that he was a top contender to win this entire tournament, I thought to myself, they have to call an audible here, because he was just so, so bad, and Michael Judas was awful. Gunnar Miller was just bad. And if you're going to push a guy like the way that they were, it is extremely difficult to push a guy who just has such a disaster of a performance. And I would like to, Brian, here's how bad it was. They screwed up a snapmare spot twice.
Wow, that's like one of the basics. Wow.
I mean, they did this early on. They did this early on, and they just never recovered. It was just Michael Judas had no crispness to his offense. And I would like to point out that overall, every other match of this tournament, it seemed, pretty much delivered. I mean, I know that they are going to be Woo Wrestling is going to be releasing Jimmy Rave and John Skyler for free. That was the opener of night one, and it was excellent. It was a very, very solid matchup that people should definitely check out, whether they release it. I believe they're going to release it on YouTube. But Jimmy Rave was awesome this entire weekend as well. Jimmy Rave wrestled John Skyler in what was, I would say, I would give the opener 3 3/4 stars. I mean, it was that good, and it was extremely well-paced, and it was very different than a lot of your super indie matches. It was, they started off very, very slow, but they really did a great job of building to a logical conclusion. Brian, this is a match, I don't know if you wanted to see this match, but when I tell you what it is, you're going to want to see it. Jimmy Rave versus Matt Riddle.
Yeah, that's definitely something I want to watch. it's crazy to think that Jimmy Rave is, again, just like Chris Hero, a guy that's been around for a long, long time, and all of a sudden he's just having this kind of pseudo-renaissance.
The Ravesance.
Yeah, the Ravesance. And he's pretty much been doing the same thing, right? I mean, I really haven't watched any of his latest matches, but, you know, he was pretty solid, you know, throughout his career. Having some really underrated matches, I thought, like, actually back in, like, 2005, 2006. And then things kind of went the TNA route. And now he's kind of just, like, at
he
that.
Also, he also had personal demons that he had to deal
yeah,
with.
Yeah, that I didn't want to, like, point out particularly. But, you know, everyone has their demons. We all understand. So maybe this is just him, like, at, you know, when you get to that age, when you've been doing something for so long, you kind of feel like, you know, I'm just going to do it the way I want and have this, you know, have this kind of mental change and mental attitude change about, you know, the approach to wrestling. Roderick Strong went through that. Seems like Chris Hero recently went through that. And it's paying off. And he's just having, like, from what I keep reading and seeing on Twitter, it's just like, wow, Jimmy Rave in 2016. Who would have thunk it? But I guess people saw it coming because I guess he's just been building up slowly throughout all the independents in the southern area. And then now it's just kind of, like, culminating. And now he's kind of, like, one of the main attractions to this tournament. And it's great for him because, you know, like, back in, like, even in Ring of Honor, you know, he wasn't, like, the top guy. At least now you can kind of get some of that top guy kind of level feel to him in, you know, promotions like this. And, I mean, it's great to hear that he's, like, still, like, able to tear it up even all throughout the shit he went through and all that kind of thing. And especially his TNA run, which was not that great at all from the stuff that I remember. So, good for him. Great for everyone in this tournament, and it's just it's really awesome to hear, and I can't wait. I will check this out for sure, because the way it's been hyped up, and I kind of want to see the way it's set up. I want to see a press row for myself on camera, so that should be fun. And it sounds like you had a great weekend, and you only spent, what, $45-$50? Well, I spent $270.
So to give you some perspective, I spent $20 total on tickets for the SCI, and my AWE ticket was $30, so...
And you probably had more value at the tournament than you...
Yes, we can get to AWE in just a minute. I'm trying to think of what else I want to say about some of what I saw. The best match of this tournament was the first rounder between Anthony Henry and Leo Rush. This was just a tremendous... This was your super indie showcase PWG style match where they just went very hard hitting, lots of high flying, a lot of innovative stuff. And this definitely can be considered a match of the year contender as well. And this is a match that I have a feeling we're going to see in other companies in the very near future. Specifically, Anthony Henry is a guy who you are going to see break out. I know he's done a couple of shots for CZW, but I know for a fact that there were a lot of people from other companies that were very, very impressed with Anthony Henry's performance, and I have no doubt in my mind that Anthony Henry is going to be getting booked in other places very soon. So that is definitely a name that you want to remember moving forward. Joey Lynch, he is the champion of that company, the Empire Wrestling Company, and he was another guy who was tremendously impressive in both his first and his second round matches. He had a match with Gunnar Miller that was pretty good, and he took... basically, Gunnar Miller shits the night on night one, and then night two, he just has a match with Joey Lynch that is very, very good. Joey Lynch bumped his ass off for Gunnar Miller, did everything in his power to make the guy look good, and I think he really salvaged that situation. So I have a funny feeling that Joey Lynch is a guy that you're going to be seeing in other promotions as well. So that's going to be very, very interesting as well. Specifically, like I said, definitely go out of your way to see this when it comes out on VOD. I know that Wu Wrestling is hopeful of having this out very, very soon, possibly within the next week or two. So definitely go check it out. And another reason to check this out, Brad Stutz did commentary with a number of different folks, but Stutz in particular. I was on the commentary side, and his commentary over the main event is absolutely amazing. And Brian, I know that you have watched some CWF Mid-Atlantic, and you know how good Stutz he is.
Yes, and he's also on, is he Matt Hardy's preacher or something? I don't know. I saw him in some gif of him in Matt Hardy's house on Impact Wrestling, and that put a big-ass smile on my face. So, yeah.
For sure. I mean, absolutely. And,
yeah. And you know, whenever I do watch the CWF Mid-Atlantic on YouTube, his voice really elevates the product, that's for sure. Especially when you watch that 90-minute match, the Trevor Lee match. Man, he really brought a lot of things into perspective. And really, he really does well in terms of like putting the story in perspective and stuff like that. So good for him. Hopefully he gets more of you know, more love too. And maybe he even gets, you know, reaches out and goes to other promotions and calls, you know, different matches for different promotions. That'd be kind of cool, you know?
So, in addition to the wrestling, there were a whole lot of shenanigans, some of which I cannot discuss publicly on the air. But I will happily discuss this. While so many of us were at the hotel, there was a podcast recording that took place on the Saturday, which was the day of night two. And there was basically a Q&A, and some of the wrestlers who were involved in this Q&A included Chris Hero, Matt Riddle, Tank, John Skyler, and a couple of the local folks who were in the area, including Dan Wilson and Al from Wu Wrestling. So Matt Riddle was there from like 12 p.m. until 3 p.m. The whole Q&A, Brian, went about 4 hours.
I can only imagine, because, like, I bet Matt Riddle has some interesting stuff to say, because he is a pothead.
Matt Riddle is a guy who I think came off incredibly well over the course of the entire weekend, and I think, particularly among those in the wrestling Twitterverse, I think people walked away with a very positive feeling about Matt Riddle, specifically, like, some of the things that he was talking about was he was talking about the ways in which he has tried to improve his game, and I know that this Q&A was recorded for podcast purposes, and I'm going to try to retweet it. Hopefully it all comes out, but Matt Riddle talked about, you know, how he's improved and, you know, his mentality in going to these various companies, not being an asshole, treating the business well, and treating the people well. And he basically you know, one of the things he mentioned was the difference between being a fighter and being a wrestler, in that, you know, when he's a fighter, all he has to do is go in, kick a guy's ass, and then he can get more money. Whereas in wrestling, he kind of has to, you know, he has to have partners, he has to, you know, have relationships with promoters, other wrestlers. So it was very interesting to hear him talk about that. One of the things he mentioned, he talked about he likes wrestling in front of the smart wrestling fans, which is something you never hear any wrestler say. So whether Matt Riddle is sincere in that belief or not, that is a genius thing to say, and I think you would agree with that.
Oh, yeah, especially since he's about to go to PWG in like 4 weeks, which is probably the smartest crowd, one of the smartest crowds, I think. I mean, at the last PWG show, people were chanting "Delete" in a sarcastic, kind of ironic kind of way, so... So yeah, that does not surprise me. He seems like a guy who like gets it and can understood going into wrestling that it's a completely different animal, and that he's got to treat people certain ways and treat the fans a certain way. I mean, yeah, he said like he will make, in MMA you make more money if you win, right? But you could actually make just as much money getting your ass handed to you every night if you know what you're doing and you know how to piss off the crowd enough that they want to pay to see you get hate, you know, beat up because they hate you so much. That's like the old school mentality of being a heel, and he understands that. And even though he's like not technically a heel, you know, he's great, because you can tell like he kind of reads the crowd. Like when you watch his matches, man, it's very methodical, and it's also like, wow, this guy's like, I didn't see that coming. The guy's brilliant, you know. Not surprising in the fact that he seems like very humble and committed, like just brings a smile to my face, especially since like what it's been a year since he's been like wrestling, like almost 2 years now, Monster Factory, I think. Just unbelievable progress, man. Probably the most improved. Yeah, probably most improved this year, and not only that, but like,
I mean, he's the Rookie of the Year, and anyone who doesn't vote for him for Rookie of the Year is out of their goddamn mind.
Does Lio Rush count, or is that last year?
I believe Lio Rush would not count.
Okay, so that,
even so, I would vote for Riddle.
Yeah, I still need to. And yeah, it just makes me more excited for Mola, him and Kyle O'Reilly, because that's going
to
be.
Yeah, he's very much looking forward to that. He specifically mentioned Kyle O'Reilly and that match and being excited to make his PWG debut and all that good stuff. So that's going to be very exciting.
Good to hear. Yeah, 4 hour, like, you know, a 4 hour podcast. You forget the fact that Chris Hero did like a 7 hour shoot or whatever it was.
Well, Chris Hero was only there for about an hour of it.
Oh, so it wasn't totally. That's okay.
Because he was doing a seminar, so.
Yeah, so I'm
going to
get drunk on about shit.
But he gave an incredible answer. He was asked about what it means to get heat in the year 2016, and his answer was so good that I don't even want to try to paraphrase it. I really, like I said, if I can retweet the link to the podcast, I will. But basically, you know, Chris Hero is a very smart guy, and he should be booking and training somewhere. That's what my attitude is. So the SCI was a monumental success, and specifically, I know that they drew, almost 1,000 people over the two nights. I know that they raised, on night one alone, they raised over just about $4,000 for the middle school that they were running. So that is obviously a really big deal as well, and they were auctioning off items and all that good stuff. So. It was announced that the 2017 Scenic City Invitational will be running at that same venue, which is East Hamilton Middle High School near Chattanooga, Tennessee. And Brian, I don't know if you want to, but anyone who has a chance next year should come to Chattanooga for this tournament, because it was an absolute blast, and I know that they are going to try to organize things even better. You know, the Q&A was very, very informal. They obviously had the two nights of wrestling, but I know next year they're going to try to make things even a little bit more formal. And, you know, it's still going to be small, but they want to keep things a little bit more organized and, you know, have more formal Q&As and whatnot. So, but yeah, I had an absolute blast at this.
Very cool to hear. And maybe one day, I mean, you think about, for me to travel over there, it's probably, what, a couple $100 on the ticket here and there for a plane ticket?
Maybe you should just skip Bola next year, Brian. That's what you should do.
Skip Bola. I'd probably save money if I went to this thing.
you it would be, I don't know about that, but it might be closer than you think.
Yeah, that's surprising. But hey, you know, why am I complaining? I'm so lucky to live so fucking close to Reseda. It's ridiculous, so.
Of course, there's no doubt. I mean, you're someone who you would be crazy. I would yell at you if you didn't go to PWG every month.
Yeah, pretty much because of the tweets. But anyway, you know.
Yes, and helping.
Yeah, we'll venture to the south and survive as well, just like you. But because of my skin color, I might have to be a little hesitant. But hey, it's what you got to do in the south, I guess.
You'd make it. It was, like I said, an amazing weekend. I'm really glad I had a big breakfast the day of the Q&A. I went to Waffle House for the first time ever, Brian, so that was another big deal for me.
Oh, I love waffles. And the shitty ones I get here, like a Denny's or IHOP, I have to go to like these weird off places to get like good waffles, so yeah, I know the struggle, I know the waffle struggle.
Yeah, I had the all-star breakfast, which of course, if I'm going to go to Waffle House, I have to have a fucking waffle, of course. So I had the all-star breakfast, which was very, very delicious. The Waffle House was walking distance from my hotel, so that was very, very good for me as well.
Always a plus to have like a good food spot next to your hotel, which happens to be next to the venue.
Well, there were actually two places. I mean, so Waffle House was in walking distance, but the City Cafe, which is a very good restaurant in Scenic City or in Chattanooga, That was attached to the hotel. And if you can picture this, Brian, so picture you've got about 30 of the hashtag wrestling Twitter people staying at the hotel. All of the wrestlers are also staying at this hotel. And imagine all of them converging on this restaurant at about 12 o'clock after night two of the tournament.
Well, that isn't awkward, but I'm sure it would have been a... I'm sure there was some fun times that night in some of those hotel rooms.
Yes, much of which, again, we cannot discuss publicly, but good times were had by all. I didn't know Yuengling was sold in Tennessee, and when I saw Yuengling, let me tell you, Brian, I was extremely happy.
Wait, what is it?
Yuengling, it's a beer.
Oh.
It's a lager.
Okay, okay.
And they don't sell it in Illinois. The most western state that it is sold in is Ohio. So I cannot get it in Chicago.
So that's good, because like usually you find those local treats, so that's awesome. I mean, gosh, it makes me want to go, but and again, Tennessee. I mean, if I'm going to Tennessee, I got to go to Memphis too, right? I got to go to Memphis, Tennessee. I want to see Jerry the King Lawler, Memphis, Tennessee. But you know, a dream trip for another future date. Probably if I can coincide with the tournament, that'd be awesome too. So hopefully this tournament gets more hype next year, and then more people will be flying. Maybe it will become one of those things where it's like a King of Trios or like Bola, where people just want to fly in from all over. And maybe they can make it a happening kind of scene. You know, you never know. Everything starts out small and then build its way up.
There are people from 17 states and 2 provinces in Canada this year.
Well, there you go.
I know for a fact someone came from Vancouver to this show.
Oh, that's like West Coast Canada.
Yeah. Not like Ontario or a place that's, you know, somewhat near. We're talking Vancouver. 3-hour difference in time.
Wow. Yeah, that's some commitment, which is pretty, I mean, it's actually pretty awesome.
I mean, I'm from Chicago. That's Illinois. You had people from New York, Arkansas, Alabama, Florida, South Carolina. Unbelievable. 17 states, 2 provinces. And apparently, there's some people who are from the UK who plan on coming next year.
Whoa!
Fans, so...
Okay, so now this has some legit overseas street cred that people are willing to fly. When you're willing to fly over for a show like a... like a King of Trios, like a WrestleCon, or...
like a Bola. People fly for Bola, too.
Yeah, I know people last year flew in from like Russia and shit, so I know how it is, man. If this could be one of those tournaments, and then just, you know, the Southern style, this could be a great run of... or a great string of tournaments for, you know, the next couple years. Because, you know, like, when the Super 8 started out, it started out hot back in the day with, like, AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, Chris Sabin, all those guys, and then over the last couple of years, it's kind of, you know, taking a little bit of a downturn. But
I mean, the biggest thing for me is I think social media really has changed everything, and the fact that there's so many people who are willing to come into Chattanooga, and, you know, I've met Dylan a couple of times face-to-face, but the fact that we were all able to just go to Chattanooga and all hang out with each other because of Twitter and because of social media... that's really, really important, and I think that makes a difference with these tournaments as well, is that people feel more comfortable about, you know, going to these different spaces. So I think that plays into it as well.
Yeah, very much a wrestling community. You know,
yes.
You get it over in the East Coast, you have it here in the West Coast, you see the same group of people, you're almost like a family, acting like a family at some points, being rowdy and stuff, and hugging each other at those big moments. We've all been there, and it's so cool to hear that, like... this could be like a wrestling gathering, you know, for every year for all the wrestling fans. That'd be really cool. And we'll see how much of a buzz it gets by this time next year. And you never know. I mean, if I'm willing to save up, I don't know, if I'm not going to Vegas at that moment in time, I could maybe save up and go to Tennessee.
All right, so let's talk about Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. I do not want to talk about this for very long because there really isn't a whole lot to say about it. So... went to Atlanta for AWE. They were presenting their season premiere show. I walked into the venue. Keep in mind, it was about 90-something degrees outside with a heat index of about 100. And come to find out, there was no air conditioning in this venue, Brian.
Well, Sorry. That's, wow. What was the official temperature?
It was about 90 degrees. I don't want to exaggerate. Oh, let's just say 90.
Yeah, that happened to our
brutal. A southern 90, too.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking, like a southern 90. So, like, I remember, like, at work 2 weeks ago, like, the air conditioning broke. And by, like, 1 o'clock, it was, like, 90 degrees, so we all had to leave work early and shit. And I can just imagine. Because, like, it was worse than the Reseda building. So, like, I can only imagine a building with a broken AC.
I mean, there were some fans that were going, and there was some air circulating at least, but it was pretty nasty in there. And I immediately got to the hotel and took a shower after that, because I was sweating my balls off.
Yeah.
It was also a really small venue. I walked in and immediately decided that drinking was going to be on the agenda for this. So I had a few beers. I would also like to point out that there was no locker room that the wrestlers, Brian, the wrestlers had to dress outside.
Wow. Well, okay. That's very professional. And they couldn't even have, like, a room, like, at least a janitor's closet or something?
Apparently not.
Wow.
They were outside. They were not in a back room. They were all dressed outside. So, in addition to that, Brian, I want you to keep this math in mind. So I told you there were about 25 to 30 wrestling Twitter people, correct?
Yes.
So, basically, all 25 to 30 of these people made the drive down to Atlanta, Georgia. Atlanta's about 2 hours away from Chattanooga, so a relatively easy drive. For wrestling fans, an easy drive, right? 2 hours is nothing. So the attendance for the show was anywhere between 45 and 50. So think about that for a second and do the math in your head.
Well, it's a good thing that they have a Twitter account, at least, to at least draw that 25 people that probably tweeted about it.
So apparently something occurred at the season finale that pissed off a lot of the regular fans of AWE. It was really sad to see Chris Hero wrestling in front of 50 people.
Well, that sounds like Chikara in 2003.
It was a very enthusiastic 50 people because, again, it was all wrestling Twitter folks. So the enthusiasm was there and, you know, people were still into the show. And, you know, it wasn't like a funeral, but when you have Chris Hero and there's 50 people there, it was just a little sad. So the booking of the show was not very good. And this, you know, the main event was a Georgia Crown title match between Jimmy Rave and Anthony Henry. So it was a title match. So what was the time limit, do you think, on a championship match in the main event?
Well, tradition states that it's 60 minutes. But
it was 20 minutes.
Wait, they actually said that?
They announced it as a 20-minute time limit. So immediately in my head, I'm like, well, this is going to a time limit draw. So they did 20 minutes. They did 5 more minutes, and then it was a draw. That's how they main evented the show, with a draw.
Well, that's, well, there you go, I guess. That kind of explains some of the reasoning as to why, I guess, people didn't go to the show because of the booking. I guess that's kind of an example of it right there.
There was a heel authority figure as well who was a part of this show.
Well, it's 2016. I mean, every promotion needs a promoter, right? Right?
I mean, there were some bad matches in the first half, but I certainly want to give credit particularly to Kurt Stallion, who is a student of Michael Elgin, drove 16 hours, Brian, from Texas to Atlanta, and he was able to get on the show and wrestle in a triple threat match.
Well, that's hard work and determination. Sometimes you just gotta be, I mean, mentally it's probably like almost like a defeat to be in that kind of situation, but I gotta feel like it's a learning experience, because, like, yeah, you go all this way. We've all been in that kind of situation where you end up in, like, you go a certain length at a distance, you're like, why am I here? Is this worth it going all the way out here? Well, but in that situation, whatever kind of situation it is, but I feel like that's something you can learn from and be like, okay, this is what it means to be a wrestler going 16 hours. Was he even announced, or was he just like hoping to get on the show?
What? I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Was he announced, or was he like hoping to get on the show?
I think he was just hoping to get on the show.
Well, there you go. So, I mean,
You got to give him a lot of credit.
Yeah, that's the indie wrestler mentality right there. Sometimes you just got to, like, go for it, and if it's going to be worth the 16 hours, it was probably, what, $20, something like that.
Yeah, I'm not going to presume to speculate on that, but you got to give him credit, and you got to give the credit to all the talent. All the talent certainly put in a lot of very hard work, so props to them. You know, they could have very easily just gone out there and tanked it and not cared, but every single person who came out gave maximum effort. And especially when you look at Chris Hero and Anthony Henry and Jimmy Rave, I mean, these are guys who worked the SCI as well, and they still gave maximum effort. So these wrestlers who worked on the show deserve all of the credit in the world, and I certainly have nothing but praise for all of them. So, but yes, AWE was not a fun experience for me, mostly because of the booking. Nothing to do with any of the talent involved. You certainly have to give the credit to them. So that was my weekend. Brian, anything else you want to ask me about, or are we good to go?
I think we're good. You survived. They drew well like you thought. They put
the SCI did, yes.
Yes, the SCI did. They put the young guys over. Again, the word of mouth that I talked about, and hopefully more word of mouth will lead to more bookings for them. So overall, successful weekend. Sounds like you got not the VIP treatment, but the press row kind of treatment. I know some of us PW Ponderings members have gotten that treatment before. Not me, but I know some people who actually deserve getting that kind of treatment. For
well, sex. Brian, you're still paying $300 for bullet tickets. So.
$217. I did not get front row, but still, that's...
Okay, that's still a lot of money.
I mean, I am joking around with my friends now that I am, you know, bola broke right now, and they understand what that means, and they don't even go to the shows, you know? So, thank you, friends, for helping me out these last week and a half surviving.
All right, Brian, so before we get out of here, let's go ahead and get some plugs out of the way.
Hit me up on Twitter, Brian DeBrain. I did the PWG trading cards, quote-unquote, for Bullet 2016. I finally finished the set. I sent them off to the printer. It's going to happen, man. It looks like it's going to be 100 sets. I have a relative like small list going right now. I know I probably got to go through all the messages and DMs from last month, but hit me up, DM me, just remind me because, you know, I'll probably forget sometimes and who to add on the list or whatnot. So hit me up on Twitter. You can pick it up at Bola or if you send me the, because it's free. I mean, this is non-profit, not for any profit at all for the fans. It's being printed for, I don't want to say free, but printed by a printer who's willing to print these cards for us to enjoy. So please give a shout out to, his name is Chris, one to follow on Twitter, at one to follow. He lives out of Arkansas. Maybe he was at the shows. You never know. Maybe I'll hit him, give him a DM and see if he actually saw you at the shows, Jerome. But shout out to him for doing this, and thank you for all the support and all the love I'm getting for the cards. And just, yeah, if you want some graphic design work done, hit me up. Check out the store, pwponderings.com/store. We got these different designs, lucha designs, 2016 booking that seems to be totally relevant throughout the year. That it's 2016 and we're talking about Jimmy Ray, for Christ's sake. Who would have thought that, you know? I probably have a new shirt coming out soon. I keep looking and I don't find any Dusty Rhodes polka dot shirts, so I'm pretty sure there's no trademark on giant yellow polka dots in a black shirt. So I think that's what we're going to do. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, you might as well go for it, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if I can't find it on, like, any WWE website or any Dusty Rhodes officially licensed merch, I think it's fair game. And I think it'd be cool to kind of represent, especially with Cody Rhodes coming in for Bola to rep a black t-shirt with a bunch of giant yellow polka dots on it. It's old school, baby.
All right, so twitter.com/pwponderings, twitter.com/JeromePWPEditor is the place to find me. Please leave 4 or 5-star reviews on iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you find your podcasts. You can support us by going to our Amazon and Highspots links at pwponderings.com. For Brian, I'm Jerome. You've been listening to the Weekly Newscast. Thank you for listening.
Boom.